We're going to start this morning at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let your nets for a catch. And let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear from now on, for you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Here they are fishing. They are fishermen. That is what they do. And they leave it all behind. They leave their catch and follow Christ into the greatest adventure of their lives. 3 straight years with Jesus, watching him, asking him questions, clearly knowing what his will is for each of them each day. It must have been a wonderful time. Up to this point in their lives, this has got to be the greatest adventure any of them had ever been on. And no doubt, in fact, we know because the Bible tells us that they had a picture of how the future looked. However, the actual plan of God looked very different. Jesus knew what they thought, and he knew the Father's will for his life, and that they weren't the same. And out of his love, Jesus tells his disciples this shortly before their image of the future was shattered. John 15, 4 and 5 says this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And shortly after Jesus says this, he is led away and crucified. The disciples are blown away. This is not how they saw the day ending. the future they saw is now radically different from the one they expected. Because of death. Death can seem surreal. You know the person is gone, but you still expect them to walk through the door. So keep that in mind as you listen to the words of John 20:26. And after 8 days again, so this was after the 8 days after the resurrection, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Think of that. He is alive. After so many tears, after so much grief, after all the shock, he is alive. So often, I think as I read through the Bible, I know this story, and so I just read it. I already know how it ends. So it doesn't strike much of a chord with me. But today I think it's easier for us to realize how elated the disciples must have been. What was lost to them is now right in front of them. But amazingly, the Bible seems to indicate that Jesus didn't spend all of his time with the disciples after his resurrection. I get the impression as I read those brief parts of Scripture that talk about life after the resurrection, I get the impression that during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus was very busy and often left the disciples alone. So imagine how the disciples felt. They knew Jesus was alive and at work, but before, Jesus had always been really close. And the disciples knew what their role was every day. And now Jesus seemed to be at work without them. And their role is less clear. They want to do something, but they don't know what they should do. As we flip to John 21, I imagine this scene. Peter and Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John are silently sitting around a fire that is slowly burning down. The conversation over recent events has died down too. And each disciple sits quietly, staring into the hypnotically flickering flames, each wondering what to do now. John 21:2-13. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, "You do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast their net. They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. So what should they do? What can they do? In a scene so similar to their first encounter with Christ, they are reminded of their fundamental calling. And you guys, I know that today we find ourselves in a quiet shock. Right now, all we want to do is to do something, but we don't know what to do. We have questions that today seem to have no answers. Still, we have this hope that Bill and Dave, as well as a congregation of men from this church, are together worshiping God. And as we're comforted by this hope, the desire to do something is still inside each of us. So what we can do is remember, trust, and submit to the words that Christ gave to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So let's abide in Christ as a congregation. Let's abide in Christ as individuals, because there will come a time for everyone in this world. And when it comes, let it be a time that it is accompanied by hope, because we did what the Lord called us to do. We want to do something after something like this happens. But if we do something before events like this happen, if we abide in Christ and bring the fruit of the gospel into this world, then we'll have done what could be done. Let's abide in Christ so that we can have an effect on this community. Because there is a time for everyone. At this time, I invite the worship team to come on back up, and we're going to have communion this morning, but before we do, they're going to lead us in a small song. Thank you.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share.
And when the hour came, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup, when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Father, just as you gave thanks in that moment, we give thanks in this moment for your body that was broken and given to us. Father, thank you for your great and mighty love that you earnestly looked forward to the Passover that you would know, you knew would be marked with your blood. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. For indeed, the Son of Man is going, as it has been determined. But woe to that man through whom he is betrayed. Take and drink the blood of the covenant. Again, Father, we thank you so much for your willingness to create us knowing what it would cost you, to come knowing what we would do for you, and loving us more anyways. We love you and we praise you, Lord. It's in this moment that we thank you. Amen.
If you'd stand once more as we close.
And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share
this week.